So turn with me to God's Word, Psalm 3, and my Bible highlights, the Lord helps his troubled people. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of him, there is no help for him in God. But you, Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Well, the Bible is very clear that the Christian life is a constant conflict against evil. 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 12 says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Christians should not be strangers to conflict against evil. In the main, the Christian life is a battle for God's glory. And the battle is against Satan and his followers. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 it says, All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We live in a world today that's moving very fast towards worldwide persecution of Christian believers. Ultimately, this will mean a one-world religion that will be forced upon the nations of the world. Now, we may feel quite safe in Japan today from persecution towards Christians. However, with over 100,000 Muslims now living in Japan and worshipping in Japan, and Prime Minister Abe encouraging Islam to flourish in Japan, it will not take long for Islamic nations to get a foothold in this nation. And ultimately, Muslim people will influence Japanese people against Christianity. That's not a prophecy. That will happen. Therefore, the persecution against Christians in Japan could happen in the lifetime of some young Japanese people in our congregation today. We need to pray and remain strong in the almighty power of God. Because in Psalm 3, David teaches us something about his own conflict with evil and how God helped him through his situation. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to group Psalm 3 to Psalm 7 together in a mini-series. In Psalm 3, we see the conflict against evil. And in Psalm 4 and 6, next week, which we'll group together, we notice the conflict against circumstances. And then in Psalm 5 and 7, we're taught about the conflict against slanderous people, people who want to slander our name for whatever reason. So first of all, we start with Psalm 3, which is the conflict against evil. Now, the first thing we need to do is to put this psalm into its historical context. David wrote this psalm after he had fled from Jerusalem when his son Absalom had taken over his throne. Absalom had been working for some time to influence people against David, who was God's anointed king. We learn about this story from 2 Samuel chapter 15 to chapter 18. And even though David had forgiven Absalom his many sins, Absalom was determined to have power in Israel and to be the new king. Now, historically at that time, it seemed that evil had won the day and that God's anointed David was set for a life of exile and failure. But God always has the final decision concerning the outcome of all situations. So let's focus now on verses 1 to 2 of Psalm 3. David admits to God the intensity of the struggle he was going through. And David lays before God the seriousness of his situation. He says twice that many people have risen up against him. Once David was the popular king. He ruled with equity and justice. He protected and provided for his people. But now he was the runaway king. People regarded him as rejected by God. People said, there is no help for him in God. Imagine what that must have been like. What did that really feel like for David? He was the humble shepherd boy who was selected by God because of the purity of his heart. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I've refused him. That's all his other brothers. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's why God chose David in the first place, because of his heart. He killed the giant Goliath to save the Israelites from destruction, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And David always acknowledged that it was God who gave him the strength to serve. He was a very humble man. 1 Samuel 17 verses 37. Moreover, David says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. David was on the run for many years, being persecuted by King Saul, who was rejected by God for his disobedience. And even though David had the opportunity to kill Saul one day, he resisted, because in spite of Saul's behavior, David regarded him as God's anointed. 1 Samuel 24 verse 10 says, look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. David had such respect for God, and for even for somebody who was anointed by God, but disobedient. And David was a very humble man who only wanted to honor God in his life. However, it seemed that God was not honoring him, because he was suffering because of the evil behavior of his own son Absalom and all his evil supporters. David was lonely and in despair, and he poured his heart out to God. What about the application for us? That happened a long time ago, but it was real. And this psalm is a psalm for us today, because it appears in our world that evil is winning over good. You only have to look at the news around the world today. It appears that the people who follow the Bible are not getting any help from their God. But as Christians, we must never forget that Jesus has already won the victory over Satan and death. That is the most important victory that you can ever win, the victory over Satan and death. Jesus was raised from the dead to assure us that one day we too will get the victory over death and evil. Yes, as Christians, we are in a battle, but we are on the winning side. God will never reject those people who put their faith and trust in him. Nevertheless, it is not wrong to cry to God with all the problems that we face as we live in such an evil world. God wants to hear our cries as we face difficult struggles against evil, or different struggles against evil. The wonderful thing about this psalm is that we encounter real people with real problems in difficult situations. And their hardship, certainly in David's case, is not a reflection of their spiritual state. David was a man after God's own heart, and yet he still suffered. And that suffering came in the worst way through his own son, whom he loved. So that's the first thing that we notice in the psalm, is David is very honest, and he admits to God the intensity of his struggle. And then in verses 3-6, we discover that David puts his trust and confidence in God. And in verses 3-6, David highlights a number of things that he is trusting God to do for him. First of all, David wants God to hear his cry for help in verse 4. David's confidence in the God of the Bible to hear him was not misplaced. David tells us that God heard his cries for help. It's a wonderful that David had the assurance that God was listening to his prayers. David was a man who knew God intimately. He talked with him every day, and he saw God act on behalf of him many times before. Now, knowing that God heard the cries of David, David's heart was enough for David. David couldn't force the hand of God to do what he wanted, but he knew that the God of the Bible had the power to do what he felt best. To do what he felt best in that situation for this moment of time. Yes, David was suffering now, but he knew that God acts on behalf of those who wait for him. That's the bit that we don't like. Yes, David was suffering now, but he had the assurance that God would act on his behalf if he waited for him. Isaiah had the same idea. Chapter 30, verses 18, it says, "Therefore the Lord will wait." Why does God wait? "That he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him." So David had this kind of assurance that he was crying to God for help, but he knew that God would help him. He just had to wait for God's timing. Now, what about our application? Today we have a great communication links with the internet. With our cell phones, we can check our bank accounts, transfer money around the world. With Messenger, we can communicate with our friends. With Twitter, YouTube, we can communicate with the world. However, the most important communication that we really need and we must have is communication with our Creator God, the God of the Bible. David didn't need a monthly contract with a cell phone company, but he did need a personal relationship with his Creator God. David was in a personal relationship with the God of the Bible. And if we want to have the assurance that God is listening to the cries of our heart, then we need to be in a personal relationship with our Creator God. This can only happen if we deal with the sin in our lives. And Jesus Christ is the only person who has the right to forgive sin. And the reason is that he died to take the punishment for all of our sins. Jesus is our substitute sacrifice. He died in our place. He died that we might be forgiven and have our relationship with God restored. Putting our faith and trust in Jesus personally will give us the assurance in our heart that God is listening to our prayers. Once our sin is forgiven, it provides access to the very throne of God through Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is to know that when we pray, the God of heaven is listening to our prayers. That's a wonderful thing. Whatever your problems are today, to know that the God of heaven is listening to the prayers of your heart. That's the first thing. David wants God to hear his cry for help. And David had the assurance that God was listening to his prayers. Secondly, in verse 3, David is trusting God to deal with his depression. Verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. David is telling us that he is trusting God to lift up his head. When you're depressed, your head usually looks down to the ground. And David knew that God could deal with his depression. Now, depression is a big medical problem in Japan and all over the world. Now, most people suffer some form of mild depression in their lives. And Christians are not immune from this problem. However, as most attacks concerning depression come from the wrong thinking of our minds, David is trusting God to remove those negative thoughts. You see, people were saying that God had rejected David and that God was not going to help him. However, David knew that the thinking of his enemies was wrong. David knew that if he focused upon God's word and not the words of others, then he would be set free from his depression. Now, it's not wrong to take your depression to God and ask for his help. However, the answer is to believe God and his word and not trust in your negative thinking or even trust in your feelings. The New Testament teaches us to focus upon good things. Philippians 4, 6 and 9 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, these positive things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So, meditating on the positives of God's word, meditating on what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, meditating on all the good things that God gives us will lift our minds and hearts and give us peace. The next thing that David was doing was trusting God to be a shield for him in verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. A shield was a piece of armor that was held by a soldier to protect him from arrows that were designed to harm him. And David wanted God to be his personal shield. David wanted God to protect him from the physical arrows as well as the spiritual arrows, the emotional arrows. In Ephesians 6 and verse 16, it says, above all, talking about spiritual warfare, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. David was certainly going to be attacked with physical arrows as well as spiritual arrows. And David was asking God to do something that he knew was in the power of God to do. God did have the power to protect David. And David knew about God's power because he had experienced it on a number of occasions. David was not a stranger to experiencing God's protective hand. David had the assurance that God would protect him in this difficult situation. Now, when we pray personally for God's protection, we may never know the lengths to which God has gone to protect us. We may never know that when we pray for protection. On one occasion, a missionary in Africa discovered the lengths that God went to in order to protect him from certain death. Now, this is a true story. A missionary who worked in Africa traveled to collect medical supplies and money from a town that was a two-day journey from his home. What he didn't know until later was that a group of men planned to attack him, kill him, and take his medical supplies and money. The missionary discovered later, through the confession of one of these men, that the only reason they did not kill him and take his money and medical supplies, that he had an armed guard of 26 men around his tent at night. The missionary said this was impossible. However, this story was supported by all those who planned to attack the missionary. When the missionary returned home, he was speaking about this story at his home church, and one man stood up to ask the date of this incident when he was protected. The missionary remembered, and the man who stood up was amazed. The date was the same date that the church member had a very big burden to pray for the missionary. His burden was so strong that he gathered all his golfing friends and they prayed for the protection of the missionary. There were 26 men at that prayer meeting, the exact number of guards who protected the missionary from certain death. What an amazing miracle of God's protection. So the lesson for us is that if you ever get a burden to pray for somebody, pray for them. We never know what our prayers will achieve to protect people around the world. It's a good thing when we get a burden for some situation to pray for it. Finally, David was trusting God to keep him bold and without fear. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. David tells us that he would not be afraid of 10,000 enemies if they surrounded him on every side. Well, it was very bold of David to make such a claim. However, David made that claim trusting in God to honor that confidence in him. Now, David's confidence in God was certainly not misguided. The Bible records an incident when Elisha trusted God in spite of an army of Syrian soldiers. The story goes in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 18. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." But immediately, Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God time and again. Elisha warned the king that he would be there on the alert. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It's not us, my lord, the king." One of the officers replied, "Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elisha is at Dothan." So one night the king of Aram sent a great army with him, with many chariots and horses, to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning. He went outside there, and there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. But there was only two of them. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. As the Aramean army advanced towards him, Elisha prayed, O Lord, please make them blind. So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Amazing story. It's true. Today, if we were to affirm our faith in God in the same way as David, we might be considered mentally insane. And yet, the same God that we worship today is the same God that David and Elisha trusted in and experienced deliverance from their enemies. The problem is never the God of the Bible and whether he has the power to protect and deliver his people. The problem is always the faith of God's people towards God and his ability to perform miracles. Third thing in the psalm, David anticipates God's judgment upon his enemies. Verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Some translations render the verbs in verse 7 as past tense. This would indicate that David was looking back over past victories that God had given him. Other translations see this verse as a prayer for present and future victories. Whichever way you look at it, David had the faith for God to go before him and defeat the army of Absalom. And God did this historically, as we know. The phrase, struck all my enemies on the cheekbone, was an act of humiliation. In history, God vindicated David and punished his son Absalom for his act of treason. The one thing that we can be sure about as Christians, and that is that God is portrayed in the Bible as a God of justice and a God of judgment. God may allow time for people to repent, but in the end, God brings judgment upon unrepentant people. That is sure. Verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord, your blessing is upon your people. Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. The big difference between Absalom and David is that David wanted God's glory and Absalom only wanted his glory. That was the big difference. God may choose to use one of his children to accomplish something. However, the end result of any activity that involves God's blessing for God's people must go to God himself. It's very important that every Christian who is blessed by God in any way acknowledges that it is because of Almighty God and not because of their own efforts that their blessing has come. At the end of the day, God's honor is at stake. If we pray and submit a situation to God, then God gets the glory and the praise and the thanksgiving. So Psalm 3 is an encouragement to all Christians. Although we live in evil days, and the world seems to be against good and against the God of the Bible and his children, we know that God will hear our cry when we're in a personal relationship with him. God will ultimately bring judgment to the enemies of God and his people. God will ultimately bring blessing to his people through the Lord Jesus Christ. And our future is secure when our hearts are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray.